Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
All right, welcome in. Glad you found us, Pittsburgh PM team. Donnie Football on the other side. Andrew Filippone still enjoying parental leave and spending a little bit more time with baby Stella before she turns a year old in like not barely a week, I think. Time flies, by the way. Time flies, Donnie. You'll understand this someday. The days still move. What is it? The nights are long, but the years are short, they all tell you. And before you know it, you'll wake up with two kids like me with gray in your beard, having to turn down city limits for a basketball invitation because you, quote, don't trust your own body to not get severely injured trying to make a cut. And you'll just realize old Malzi was right. That was Bob Nutting on June 21st. That was part of an exchange. Obviously, the Pirates were unveiling their new partnership with Sheetz via the sleeve patch on their jerseys. That was a back and forth. I believe that was Kevin Gorman of the Trib asking the question about some financial flexibility to do more to add to this team. Bob Nutting answering in the affirmative that it is there, that kind of flexibility was there. I would say that in the last year plus, the comments Nutting made and the reaction to those comments was some of the most positive press that he has gotten, some of the most positive reaction that the owner of this baseball team has elicited in a very long time. Because he was speaking about a team that was, and still is, right on this day, in the mix in a wild card chase that is very bunched up in the National League. And that and other comments were ones from the owner that made it seem like he was aligned with a lot of fans in terms of how he viewed this team. Their chances, what they should do. He spoke of not putting a trade deadline on Ben Cherington to make moves to improve this roster. He spoke of maybe Ben Cherington striking earlier while the iron was hot. But more than anything, a man for whom one of the major criticisms has been a lack of maybe emotion regarding the on-field product and then a lack of tangible backing of that on-field product financially, the main point that I think won people over was that he was acknowledging, as somebody who has been seen as maybe more businesslike than other owners, that he was watching a product he was not happy with offensively. I spoke of it at the time as Bob Nutting giving for him a pretty rare green light, a verbal green light to Ben Cherington to go and try to improve this baseball team, specifically its offense. Now, that happened before Jared Jones went on the IL, before Bailey Falter went on the IL. Nothing has really changed the team's fortunes on the field. They essentially are just a machine of 5-5s and a couple of 4-6s and a 6-4 for the last 2 months. You've just been watching the same old, same old. Your eyes are not deceiving you. You're not imagining things. The Pirates have essentially been doing the doggy paddle or treading water since mid-May. So they are not in a different spot. But that was one time where I think the owner of this baseball team really resonated with people, even if it was only briefly. I think people said, wow, he's saying the same things we're saying. This is progress. This is good. We get today a piece in Pittsburgh Baseball Now from John Parrotto, longtime baseball scribe, guy who has been around the game for decades, seen a lot, knows a lot of people. I like John's work a lot. I think John is at times adversarial in a good way with the subjects that he's covering. I think he digs for information. The story today, source, Pirates front office was, quote, furious with Bob Nutting's comments. And after a few opening paragraphs, and you can go read the story, I'd suggest that you do, he quotes Bob Nutting from that day. Quote, I'm not at all sure that we won't have opportunities well in advance of the deadline. I think we should be prepared to move early. I think we should be prepared to take advantage of opportunities when they arise. I know Ben has that flexibility to look across a broader range of alternatives, options, but also a timeline of when it makes sense to strike, end quote. And John goes on to write that, and I'm just reading directly here, the comment made many members of the Pirates front office, quote, furious. One member of the team's baseball operations told Pittsburgh Baseball Now. They felt Nutting's comments were, quote, misleading at best, end quote. Quote, Bob implied we're going to have money to spend, and he got the fans excited, end quote. The person said under condition of anonymity so he could speak freely without facing repercussions. Quote, but he told us we don't have any money to make any significant additions, end quote. So this is not for me to start with here, the usual story of, and we hear this refrain all the time, spend more money. I don't disagree with it. I would like to see the Pirates in triple, in nine figures every year, payroll-wise. I would. I think that's fair. I don't think that is an unreasonable ask. I don't think it's ever really been an unreasonable ask once you've started to look at Major League Baseball payrolls and actually get a sense of what, say, $110 million would buy you or where it would put you relative to your peers. I don't think this is that same old story. What is very unusual, what is very newsworthy, what is very noteworthy to me about John Parrotto's story is that per the anonymous source that was willing to talk to John, and I understand, by the way, you know, there's going to be people automatically, I think, who say, well, it's an anonymous source. It's somebody within the baseball ops department. If you are this frustrated, you're not probably going to put your name on it because you're probably going to get fired. It's one thing to be frustrated, one thing to be angry. It's another thing to put your name to that and probably put your job at risk. What is noteworthy, though, is I sense now, based on this story, based on what John wrote, based on what he was told, a very real disconnect between the people who are supposed to do the job of putting the team on the field and the person who controls the resources that they have to put that team on the field. And I'm trying to go back and think in my time on this station and my time paying close attention and really time Bob Nutting has spent as the owner of this baseball team. I am trying to think of another time where there was a story where somebody in baseball ops, anonymously or otherwise, was quoted in such an inflammatory way, where it made it seem like what we were hearing publicly was not what they were hearing privately. And I can't think of one. So I do think it is very noteworthy and very notable that there is this disconnect that apparently is there, that one thing was said publicly that got, admittedly, people like me, I wouldn't say excited, but I felt like maybe because the owner seemed to be green-lighting some aggressive movement, it got me excited that they might try to do something. There's this disconnect between what we were told and apparently what's happening behind closed doors, which it sounds like, if you read John's story, and John's going to be on with us in about 25 minutes to elaborate on this, so make sure you stay close for that. It sounds like what the people who are actually in baseball ops are being told is, no, if you want to make a splashy move, it's going to have to involve offloading some payroll as well. We're not going to be able to just add a large amount of money to, I think it's an $86 million opening day payroll. That's noteworthy because I just don't think we have seen or heard or seen somebody go on record even anonymously and express that kind of frustration. And what it goes back to me is the one curious thing I have floating around in my head is I do think Bob Nutting has been very measured throughout his time as owner in his comments about the team. I think that what was so unusual during the Sheets partnership unveiling from him was that he sounded more like an angry, frustrated fan, more like a guy who wanted to see some bold action. Basically, he was channeling more George Steinbrenner, for example, than he's ever channeled in his entire tenure as Pirates owner. I think that was noteworthy to me. He was getting people excited. And what I have had trouble since this story broke figuring out is if what John is being told is accurate, why the owner of this baseball team felt it necessary at that point in time to say something that might down the road be contradicted or refuted. He has never been one to, in my opinion, try to make a big swaggering statement, almost to curry favor with the public. And so to hear him do that and then to hear this, what, 2 weeks later, is it just about? Yeah, about 2.5 weeks later come out to read this story is eye-opening to me. And now I do wonder what the next step is. I do wonder what happens next here. I mean, I have suspicions as to who it might be that told this, that said this to John. I have one suspicion specifically, but it's not responsible to speculate. But it's obvious that there is at least some discord, some disconnect right now within the Pirates front office relative to ownership. That one hand is not talking to the other. And if you are 3 weeks away like you are today from the trade deadline, and you might be at least somewhat motivated to try to keep this team in the race, especially if they put together a little winning streak that vaults them right up into wild card contention, I think it would be a reasonable ask if you're a Pirates fan to want all of these people to be pulling in the same direction on the rope and to at least have a clear-cut understanding of what is and isn't possible for them. Is this a move we can make? Is it not a move we can make? If we're going to get Jared Jones and Bailey Falter back and we think we're going to get enough innings out of Paul Skeens, how do we augment this team? And right now, this story paints a picture of at least some fissures, if not outright fractures, in that brain trust. What do you make of it? 412-928-9370. John Prado in Pittsburgh Baseball Now writing that, I'll just read you the title. Source: Pirates front office was, quote, furious with Bob Nutting's comments, his June 21st address with the media. Members of the front office were furious, and one member of the baseball ops team said that they felt Nutting's comments were, quote, misleading at best.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The GelFlex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Best, end quote. Sometimes when we're talking about a pretty big story, as we have right now with this John Parrotto piece in Pittsburgh Baseball, now John will join us in 15 minutes, by the way. You want to explain everything. You want to lay everything out. I'll take you behind the curtain here for a second on the PM team. You want to lay everything out. You want to make sure what you're saying is A, based in what was actually written. And you also want to make sure there's no room for sort of misinterpretation or did I misspeak? Did I misrepresent something? And in so doing, you can at times maybe cloud your own point. So I will say this very clearly before I throw it over to Donnie to see what he thinks about all of this and toss it out there to you, 412-928-9370. Also on Twitter at 937TheFan. That's brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them, southhillskia.net. I think the biggest takeaway I have from this story that John wrote, quoting one anonymous person in the Pirates baseball ops department as being, saying that many people in that same baseball ops department are very unhappy with what Bob Nutting said on June 21st at that Sheets unveiling. The biggest story for me here is, if you heard the owner talk that day, you got the sense that maybe with a team that has, I think, a pretty small window here where Paul Skenes is going to be elite and everybody else will hopefully, cross your fingers, be healthy in a basic sense. And now they've got two guys on the IL, but all healthy, all pitching well at the same time. You hope that there was this hope that it would be something other than business, mainly as usual, where the Pirates have not really, quote unquote, gone for it, have not augmented with like a big, pretty high priced free agent. I think there was hope that they were going to make some splashy moves and that they understood internally and were on the same page internally about how to handle the gift that is Paul Skenes and to a slightly lesser extent, Jared Jones, right? And so the biggest takeaway I have is if you thought that on June 21st when you heard the owner talk, you read this story and come away thinking that it is probably closer to business as usual than you were previously going to believe. And it is interesting because the comments back in June make it look like, hey, front office, ball is in your court, right? You can do something here. This story suggests it's not really that simple. And that if the Pirates want to make a splashy move, they're going to have to probably do something that their fans would not want to see them do otherwise concurrently. That is my takeaway. That for as much as people want to believe there's going to be a gung-ho mentality here, and maybe we're led to believe there'd be a gung-ho mentality, it does not appear that is necessarily the case. That's how I read this. Donnie Football is here today. He is not playing it. No more Ernie Banks all week for you, right? Yesterday was your only Ernie Banks day?
Yeah, I mean, the Pirates, they actually have a week where they don't have a day off. And Thursday, I'm filling in for the Starkey and Zeiss
experience. So you're both of them that day?
Yes.
Would you like to try a segment on that show where you talk like Joe talking to Paul and you just switch the voices? All right, Paul, let's get right to it.
All right, Joe, I mean, what do you want to do here? The bottom line is we got 4 hours to fill. And,
if I actually pulled that off, I think it would be some of my best work.
I could do it if you wanted me to, but then there would be people not happy with me, both inside and outside of this building. I could absolutely do it. Anyway, what's your takeaway from this? Because mine is, it seems more like it's closer to business as usual, if you believe what's in John's story today, than maybe it did 2.5 weeks ago when Bob Nutting actually talked.
My thought on it might surprise you a little bit. I mean, I'm not going to attack the owner of the team. I'm not going to jump all over Bob Nutting. Maybe that's because I'm accustomed to it being business as usual. But my thought is, and I actually saw our guy Jason in Slippery Rock say something similar to how I felt, this kind of sounds like sour grapes from the side of the GM and the sources that are close to Ben Cherington. He did get to spend some money in the offseason. Sure, maybe not a ton, but what he did spend, he blew. He blew every single dollar maybe besides, and I can't believe I'm saying this, but maybe besides the, what, $3.5 million they gave to Rowdy Tellez, he blew every single dime
without that.
That Bob Nutting allocated for him to spend this offseason. Every single signing has been a failure.
Chapman has not been good. Chapman has been, I think, ultimately a pretty significant disappointment. Tellez, if he keeps going, is going to end up looking like a good use of money. And if they ever get on any kind of an actual run where they win five or six in a row, you figure it's going to be while he and Reynolds are both hitting and maybe Cruz continues to hit. I thought about that. I mean, that's a fair point. It's a fair devil's advocate point, too, on this entire subject. What I think is just noteworthy about it is, you say it's like sour grapes. I think it's just also frustration because it's so out of character for the owner to have come out and said what he said. The subtext of what he said in June was Ben Cherington needs to get his ass in gear. Like, if I were going to put it in more blunt terms, like, hey, your offense stinks, which is kind of, as you said, a reflection of the moves you made. You know, you don't have anybody. You know, back when he said that, Tellez was starting to hit, but he wasn't getting to the point now where he's getting his name chanted and he's a curtain call subject. I just get the sense that there's a real fracture and that there's a real sense from Cherington. Like, why'd you throw me under the bus here if in behind closed doors you're not telling me the same thing? That's the crux of it. This story suggests that he said one thing in public and one thing in private, and those two things are not the same.
Yeah, I mean, their personal relationship, which, I mean, all we really know from is this story, it does not look good coming from this. And you also have to wonder if there is some frustration on the side of Bob Nutting, which, again, we know that not many people will be on his side. Whenever stories like this come to light, or really in general, because it's always he's just the butt of all the jokes. But this regime has been in business now for about 5 years, and we're on the fifth year. They do have some very promising and more than that pitching prospects when you consider Skeens. Jones has been a very pleasant surprise. I don't think many people saw this coming from where he was in the minors. But hitting-wise, which is supposed to be more of the expertise from the regime and the manager himself, has been awful. The only good hitters they have been from the Huntington era.
Yep. No, that's fair. I mean, that's fair. Michael A. Taylor's been terrible and not even as good defensively as you'd want him to be lately. Grandal has been a complete mess. He had the ultimate meaningless tack on in that 14-2 game. He hits one out and it almost gets lost in the shuffle. I mean, I'm looking at signings. I think Perez, if he stays healthy the rest of the year, is going to end up looking like a pretty decent pitching signing for them. And that is, you know, the second highest amount of money you gave to anybody. But Chapman, I keep going back to Chapman. Would you ultimately, even with Tellez looking a lot better, would you rather have Rhys Hoskins or would you rather have had Chapman and Tellez?
Hoskins.
I mean, it's not even close.
And that would have had so many more people, I think, just generally excited going into the season. And, hey, maybe it wouldn't have worked out. And I know Tellez has started to heat up, but it took the guy 2 months to do so. But they could have allocated the funds that they did have at their disposal a lot better than what they did.
I just think it's unusual, too. I'm literally trying hard. I've been doing this all show, just thinking back on the fly to any time where Neil Huntington appeared this, because I want to be very careful here. This is an anonymous person in the baseball ops department telling this stuff to John, but it's at least obvious to me that everybody in the base, Travis Williams is not baseball ops. He's business side, right? Everybody in the baseball ops department works underneath Ben Cherington. So to one degree or another, like, it's the group fronted by Ben Cherington that is expressing disdain here. Is that fair? I never remember hearing or reading any stories like this while Neil Huntington was the GM, and it was that basic regime. It could be somebody else, for sure, telling John this stuff. Don't get me wrong. But this is GM and his people, ultimately, and ownership. Those are two, you know, separate entities working under the same roof. So I just don't remember ever reading anything that made it seem like there was open frustration with the way something was conveyed. Partly because we haven't had very many Bob Nutting pressers or media availabilities where he went as hard on the record about what he thought needed to happen to this team as he did in that Sheets unveiling. Chris Muller, no Andrew Filippone this week. He's hanging out being a dad on parental leave before little baby Stella turns a year old. Now, quick question here, Donnie. Do you think that Pony went to yesterday's game and was happy with the result or ticked off? He didn't post any pictures. We know he grew up a Mets fan. He has renounced the Mets on numerous occasions on this show. Pirates win that game. Is he happy or deep down the rumblings of sadness and frustration with his Mets? Are they still there? If you had to guess.
It's got to be tough for him because it's not even like, okay, if the Pirates do end up falling off here, he doesn't even have the Mets to fall back on because they're really no better.
Yeah,
they're two games better than the Pirates.
Yeah, they're
right
a mess. I mean, if Chapman doesn't blow that game, then they're tied in the standings, essentially. Pirates would be 44 and 46. They'd be, I think, the exact same. I just wonder who he cheered for, that's all. The Fan Hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. And on the Fan Hotline, we find John Parado of Pittsburgh Baseball Now, among other places, who wrote this story. I'll give you the title again. Source, Pirates front office was, quote, furious with Bob Nutting's comments. The comments, of course, being the ones on June 21st. John, thanks for jumping on, as always. How are you?
I'm doing well, Chris. How are you?
Doing well. And first thought on this story is just, bottom line, at least my takeaway was, the story points to a pretty clear disconnect right now between what was said in public and what's being said in private, in conversations between baseball ops and the owner. Your understanding, based on the people you talk to, how significant is that disconnect at the moment?
Well, certainly enough to really annoy a lot of people, and annoy is probably a soft word to use, some people in the front office when, this all happened the day that the Pirates announced that Sheets would be the new sponsor as far as the jersey patch. Nutting talked to a couple of reporters there, and I was not there, but I read the stories of the people who were. And basically, he insinuated that they would do what needed to be done if they had a chance to make the playoffs. And this came as news to the people in the baseball operations who had been told that basically we have no more money to spend. If you're going to improve the team, you're going to have to offload somebody's salary. And that kind of ticks some people off. I know there's been growing frustration in the front office that they feel that ownership is not behind them. And I think it's starting to bubble over a little bit right now. I wouldn't say boil over is probably a little too strong, but bubble over.
John, you've been around this team. You've covered this team for a long time. I was saying before we brought you on that I could not remember a time during the previous baseball ops regime, that of Neil Huntington, where this level of frustration was voiced, whether anonymously or by somebody just putting their name to it. Can you remember a time where there was frustration during Bob Nutting's tenure as owner from his own people internally like this?
No. I think, they understood that this was how it was going to be. They were going to be one of the lowest spending teams year in and year out. And they were, and they have been. And I think in gathering this from people around baseball, people that know Ben Cherington, and Ben won't say this because he's not an excuse maker, but the implication was that they were going to spend more money than they did under Neil Huntington. And that was the implication made to everybody who interviewed for the job here, for the GM job. And it just hasn't happened, Chris. If you look every year, they're in the bottom five of payroll almost every single year. They're not even close to even the middle of the pack. And, I know anyone who interviewed for the job here knew there was going to be a challenge. There wasn't going to be a lot of money to play with. But I think the level of just how tight the money has been has been a little surprising to Ben Cherington and the rest of the people that's in the front office with him that weren't here before he was here.
John Parado joining us right now, Pittsburgh Baseball Now. You can read his stuff there and a lot of other places. What do you think? You said you weren't there, but when Bob Nutting made these comments on June 21st, I am, and many others, especially media fans even, said this is kind of eye-opening stuff from an owner who usually takes a very low-key, much more business-like approach. It was a little bit of a shade, like a small version of George Steinbrenner, the late boss, the way he would occasionally talk about the Yankees. What do you think prompted Bob Nutting to speak that candidly about what he felt should be done or needed to be done with the Pirates that day?
You know, I don't know if it was just a wave of excitement over Skeens had come up and Jared Jones was still pitching really well and was healthy at the time, and if that caused his excitement or what, or maybe it was just semantics saying we want to improve the team without saying we'll only improve the team if we trade some salary before we can take any salary on. And that seems to be, to me, what it was more than anything. I think it was just kind of wanting to say what people wanted to hear and not necessarily lying, but not necessarily making it, not living up to the way at least it sounded, even if he didn't actually come out and say, we're going to spend more money. He certainly implied that money wouldn't be that big of a hurdle come trade deadline time.
John, there's so much else, and I want people to read this story and check it out, but there's other things in here about actual nuts and bolts players that might get moved as it pertains to the deadline, which is now 3 weeks away. So first off, let me ask you this. If I put it to you this way, which of these do you think is most likely for the Pirates? I'm giving you four options here. Do you expect them, as we head to the deadline, to be a buyer, a seller, to stand pat, or to actually buy and sell and do a little bit of both? What do you think is most likely?
I would say right at this moment where they're in the standings, I would say buy and sell. Kind of like, if you remember a couple of years, Neil Huntington did the same thing with the Pirates late in his tenure. He kind of tried to play both sides of the fence and add some veterans while at the same time making other trades to add some young guys. And I think that's kind of really going to be the only way that Ben is going to be able to improve that offense this year, is if he is going to indeed add some offense, he's going to have to subtract from somewhere else. And it seems the obvious place, and I was talking to executives from other teams, Aroldis Chapman is definitely available. I'm not saying the Pirates are aggressively trying to get rid of him, but it's pretty common knowledge that he could be had. And I guess, you know, if you put two and two together, the Pirates think Ryan Barucki is close to coming off the IL. He's at Indy on a rehab assignment, and they would hope that he would come in and fill the void left by Chapman.
John, do you think a move to get Chapman out of town would be more about clearing the rest of the $10.5 million to potentially free them up to do something else than making, in that particular case, a baseball-motivated trade?
Well, I think it'd be a little of both, actually. You know, last year the Royals did the same thing with Chapman. Of course, they weren't even close to contention, but they got Cole Reagan's left-hander, who is now their best pitcher, the ace of the staff. So I think in a perfect world, the Pirates would, one, like to offload a little bit of that, you know, what's left of his salary, like around $5 million, $4.5 million now, and be able to use that to acquire somebody else for the lineup, and hopefully turn Chapman into a decent prospect as well. In a perfect world, they'd be able to do both. And I'm sure that's what Ben Charrington's trying to do.
John, the other player, the one thing in this one sentence, in a very good story, enjoyed reading it from you today. Speculation within the industry that the Pirates might be willing to offload Ke'Bryan Hayes' contract, which we do know was front-loaded by the team, and so it gets less expensive as it goes. How motivated do you think they are to actually move that deal?
I don't think it's like a number one, you know, top of the list priority for them, but I do think that they would listen, and I think teams know that. You know, they do have Jared Triolo at third base, and, you know, for all the more Ke'Bryan is hit, and, you know, he's a heck of a defensive player, there's no doubt. Triolo is a really good defensive third baseman, too. And they probably have about the same player in Triolo who they'd be paying a lot less than they are Ke'Bryan. So I think if a deal came along that made sense, they would trade Hayes, and I don't think necessarily they would want a bundle back in return for him, and they would maybe be willing to mainly just trade the contract and get, like, second-line prospects for him.
What's the relationship like there between player and team in Hayes' case, to your understanding, John? Because we know his family has occasionally been vocal about things. There was the story about going to John Nunnally to fix his hitting. How would you describe the relationship there between Key Brian Hayes and the Pirates?
You know, Key is so quiet, and he doesn't make waves, that it's really hard to say for sure in talking to him. But I get the feeling that if the Pirates did indeed trade him, I suspect talking to people, him and not so much Key Brian, but people around him, people that see how he just hasn't gotten better except for the 49 games in the second half of last year. And I know scouts from other teams have told me this too. They say he just looks like a guy that needs a change of scenery. And I really don't think if they traded him that he would be that upset about it at this point. Because it just has a feeling to me like it's not going to work out the way that both sides thought it was going to work out. And maybe it would be best for his career to go somewhere else, get with a new hitting group, get with new, just kind of a new attitude and a new regime, and maybe kind of wake up to his career.
John, last one for you, and appreciate you jumping on. I think Jazz Chisholm's name got floated as somebody that could be available for a while, but now it seems there was a tweet today out there that the Marlins are absolutely putting the open for business sign. They're open to trading Jazz Chisholm. How interested do you think the Pirates would be in acquiring his services?
I think they would be, but, you know, again, I think they'd have to offload some salary to do it. But I think they would be interested. I know they would like Luis Robert from the White Sox, but I got to think now that's a pipe dream with him making $15 million next year and club options for $20 million the following two seasons. Chisholm might be a little more affordable, and, you know, it's a guy that makes sense for the Pirates. But I think a lot of it, again, would have to be if they could open some space in the payroll to bring him in.
John Parato, Pittsburgh Baseball Now, among many other outlets, check out his story. Source, Pirates front office, was, quote, furious with Bob Nutting's comments that he made this past June. John, appreciate it as always. Thank you.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me, Chris.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.